Well, haven't we seen that played out in this whole sermon series? There have been the failures of humans, but there's been the promise of God. Not much has changed. God's promise is going to stay with us. God's promise is going to get us to where we're going to go, no matter what anybody else says. How many of y'all are of that belief? Let's come to God will. Okay? We call it God's will because guess what? God will. God will bring it through. God will see it through. God will stay with you. It will happen. Now, I'm going to challenge you today. Not a long sermon today. Not a long sermon today, but challenging sermon today. Because you know what? We're going to have to decide quicker than probably some of you wanted to. You're going to have to decide where you're going to stand. I mean, it's coming down to that. It's been coming down to that for a long time. Everybody acts like we're in some new era. We're in an old era with old stuff raising its head again. Are you going to decide who God is in your life? Are you going to follow Jesus Christ? What does it mean to be a believer? Well, first thing we want you to know is this. Jesus Christ wants to save you. How many of y'all are excited about that information today? God wants to be in you. God wants to be in you. And some of you go, well, wait a minute, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. You don't understand. I do bad things. I understand. That's why God wants to save you. Amen. Some of you, listen, some of you are so worn out because you just haven't been taught well. You just haven't been taught well. You've been taught that you're going to earn your way to heaven. Well, if you're going to earn your way to heaven, you will be psychotic your whole time here on earth. Because you're going to find there will be places that you fail. But here's what you're going to find. There's always going to be the promise of God. And it's going to be enacted to those who believe. Make sense? Now watch, today, guess what? We're doing two things. We're worshiping, but Jerry, guess what? We're believing. Right now, you have 135 people on Western's campus, and guess what they're doing today? They're ministering and living out the promise on Sunday morning to welcome new students. Why? We know that new students are the next generation. We're the next generation. So church, I want you to understand something here. You and I have a responsibility to either plant a legacy or leave a memory. Rick, here's the problem about memories. Guess what they do? They fade. Memories fade and legacies live. What are you all doing with your life? Are you planting a legacy from the promise of God, or are you just leaving a memory? You never forget a legacy, because a legacy, your name won't be mentioned, but the promises of God will. It'll be, who was that guy I worked with? He was always talking about Jesus. Or who was that woman I worked with? She was always saying, God will do these things. How many of y'all ready to live out the promise of God, which leads you into the legacy of God? I am. Anybody else want to roll? Anybody else want to go? About 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, we might have a church. Go meet at Joshua 1. I want to bring out some principles as soon as I find my Bible or a Bible. What did I do with my Bible? You know what? Some of you all that are real creative, I need somebody to invent clap a Bible. Okay? You know, like when you have your keys, you can go, and it'll go, for God so loved the world, and you know where your Bible is. Let me borrow this one real quick. It says the same as mine does, because we all have the same one. Joshua 1, after the death of Moses. Now, I want you to know something. You will die. I don't want to be morbid today. I don't want to scare you. I just want to be very factual. You will die. How many of you all have come that far along? You will die. Everybody's going to die. Now, quit letting that wig you out. People get all tore up at it. I mean, I go to the hospital and people are all tore up. This still does not make sense to me. When you come flying out of a hospital, your dad was 99 years old, and you ask me why. Let me help you. 99 years old's my lead reason. We don't last forever. Now, once you grip that, you'll live. I'm not here to last forever, but I'm here to live out the promise of God. That changes the way you live. I'm here with a purpose for a moment. Makes sense? But I'm not going to be here forever. How many of y'all realize you're just not going to be here forever? So get in and get with and live out what God has already put in motion in you. Look what he said. Moses died. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, then the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide. Now, Moses had an associate. How many of y'all have associates? Come on, how many of y'all in here have associates? How many of y'all are parents? You have associates.
Whether you want them or not, whether you hired them or not, you had them. And they are your associates. And guess what? They are going to pick up on what you hand down. They will pick up on what you hand down. Now, here's the good news. They may not implement it, but they're going to be exposed to it. Now, there's some good news on both sides of that. If you got a set of bum parents, you don't have to pick up their bum ideas as a child. Isn't that great? And now, here's the other side of the coin. If you got a set of great parents that wanted to plant a legacy of God in you, guess what? Sometimes you don't pick up on those things. But guess whose the consequence is? Yours. Parents, I would encourage you, though, to plant the possibilities of God's promise in your house. I'm going to be very honest. Y'all know me. I'm a straight shooter. This does not mean your children will automatically pick them up. No, I'm not kidding you. I'm telling you. I wish I could tell you. I don't know why it is, Steve, about kids. But for some reason, my negative characteristics, they pick up with no problem. In the few positive characteristics I have, they struggle with those. And it's not like I got a big list to give them anyway. You know? How many of y'all have noticed that? Your kids can pick up your negative behavior faster than your positive behavior. In fact, this summer, my son came by to see my wife and I, and she kind of looked at him, and she was like, oh, goodness. And he goes, what, Mom? He said, I thought you were going to skip acting like your dad, but some of it started to come out. Didn't you men go through this? If your son does something, your wife blames you for it. And so finally, I had to put a time out on. I said, listen, I done paid this bill when I was 21, and I ain't paying his. He's on his own account, you know. But yeah, it's interesting. They pick up on some of our stuff. Amen? Now, here's what I want you to know. God's got His promise invested in you. And here's what God's doing. He's taking the promise that He gave to Moses, and He's continuing, note my words, continuing that promise in who? In Joshua. Why? Because God can't break His what? Promise. How many of y'all realize that the promise of Abraham is in this room? It's what we forget. The promise of Abraham is in this room. That was spoken many millenniums ago, but that promise, oh, it gives me chill bumps to just think about it. What God said to Abraham is here in this room in 2009. God's promise cannot be broken. Wow! You think Abraham didn't even know what white people were? He didn't. He's Jewish, man. He's a polka man, not a rock and roll guy. But he said, I'm going to make you the father of what kind of nations? Many, not one, but many. How did Abraham become the father of many nations? Through the mercy and grace of an almighty God who sent His Son, Jesus Christ. The Son, Jesus Christ, came through whose line? Abraham's promise. God's always good with the promise. Now think about this. God has promised that you will stand good on the day of judgment because He will forgive you of your sins. Now, that lineage, that promise, that message, that testimony, that's what we display in life. Make sense? Now, He gives us some information. There's some activity to God's promise. He said, get the people ready. They're going to cross the Jordan. Why? I'm going to take them to the land I've given them. Now, this is just a highlighted note. What God gives, no man can take away. I don't care who the president is. I don't care what peace process they have. I don't care what big sticks jump in. Henry Kissinger, he doesn't know more than God. None of them do. CNN, MSNBC, all them guys, they can talk all the jazz they want to. What God says will be. Now, I know y'all are looking at me. You say, well, Pastor Steve, you're just a hayseed preacher. I may be, but I'm right. What God says is. You heard this week that it's our responsibility to participate in life and death situations. If any of y'all believe that, I'm going to hit you upside the head with the Bible lovingly. Now, why would you say something like that? You say something like that when your mind's been twisted and you believe that humanity is as great as God. That's where the first delusion takes off. You say, well, where did that start? Well, that's a simple principle. That started in Genesis 3 when the temptation was for man to be God. Ain't nothing new under the sun. The devil's old-fashioned. He's only got one song, kill, steal, destroy.
That's right.
So what's he got to do? He's got to show you that you can be smarter than God. I want to tell you something right now. You know when you're going to die? When God wants you to die.
That's right.
Even you doctors, be a little quiet. You doctors, you get all your scans out there, and then you come back and you say, well, now, to my best prediction, it's going to be 6 months. You don't know. I love it when a doctor tells you you're going to get 6 months and you attend his funeral. Yeah, 10 years later. And that's happened before. Here's what I want you to know. We don't know about those things. Here's what we know God's promise will be. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? He told Joshua, I'm going to give you the land. So where's the land coming from? God. Where's your life really come from? God. Leonard Bailey, who made you? God made you. Now, he got the Reverend Porter and your lover and mother to help. But who made you? God made you. Foley, who made you? Amen. Duhon, who made you? How many of y'all believe God made you? Half of you. But what are the rest of y'all evolve out of a Play-Doh bottle or what? No, God made you. We don't make ourselves. God made us. And see, if you don't, you know, Pitcock, here's what's going on in the world. You warned about this 20 years ago. You remember? When your knees were better. You remember? You said, if people don't line up to the truth of God's world, our nation will go astray. That's exactly what's going on right now. Young people, I want to tell you, I'm not a scientist. I don't claim to be a scientist. My sister's a scientist. My daughter will be a scientist. I'm not a scientist. But guess what? You can be a scientist, smart, intellectual scientist, and believe that God created humankind. Because there's nothing in science that denies that. In fact, you're not real smart if you don't believe that. He said, well, it's not popular. Well, who? Now, there's going to be a day. Listen, you got to decide. Do y'all want to be promised or you want to be popular? I'm not popular. People don't like me. They don't like me. You know what my response is? I don't care. It's not because I don't love people. It's because I know you're not going to stand there on the day of judgment. If you were going to stand there on the day of judgment, I would worry about what you think. But you're not going to stand there on the day of judgment. Chris, guess who is? Yes. And guess what part of God will stand there? Jesus. Honorable Campbell, you're a lawyer, but guess what? We all got to meet the judge. And this one happens to be in charge of the Supreme Court of the Supreme Court. This one trumps, watch this, God is not impressed with the United Nations. What do you think about that? He made them all. And God is definitely not impressed with the United States of America. We're pretty young compared to the things of God. What do you think? 200 years compared to forever? God's not impressed with what we've created, but He is waiting for us to grasp what He's promised. There's where it flips. But it's not just an intellectual flip. It's a heart flip. He said, listen, Joshua, I'm giving you the land. You go take it. You go walk where I told Moses to walk. I'll give you the land. And look what he says. Go on with me to verse number 4, I think it is. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river to the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor what? Does that sound familiar? I will never leave you nor? Where else is that found? Well, it's in the marriage vows. We do use that in the marriage vows. They're in those, especially the older marriage vows. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's found several places in the Bible. It's found in the New Testament. Anybody know where? Okay, if you don't, this is a good case. Let's pause for a commercial. Bible study at Hillview. It really helps to know what God says when you know what the Bible says. It's much like trying to put stuff together without reading the instructions. We need to hit Bible study a little bit. Wait, does this sound familiar? Go ye therefore. Tell them. Teach them. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age or end of the era. I will not forsake you. God's the same, folks. How many of y'all glad to know God won't leave you? How many of y'all glad to know God won't leave you even when you leave Him? Some of you go, well, I'll tell you what, I'm not following God. And I blow y'all away and I go, well, He's still following you. What about this one? I love this one. Well, I'm just seeking God, trying to find out where God is and who God will be. Oh, you think so? John Paul, you think so? You think they're out there seeking God? Now, you know what God's doing? He's drawing you to Him. So you'll find Him. Here's what God basically does. Can I say it straight, even though you're going to get offended? God will draw you out of your dumb. You know why you're seeking God? Because you and I are not the brightest creatures in the world, right? Because we think we're going to go find God. Guess what really happens? God finds. And when He finds us, guess what? He appoints us to what He already made us to be. Isn't that cool? How many of y'all glad to know God is never going to leave or forsake you? He loves you. He's changed you. He's promised you. He told Joshua that. He said, now go get on to the land. Today's a beautiful day for a lot of students. A lot of students today are entering the university. They've graduated from high school. How many, some of y'all remember that? Andrew, just think about this. You have to remember that now. So you're going to be dead before you know it. I'm telling you, you better get on it. Look at here. It happens to all of us. I can't even remember when I went to school now. All I remember about school is I had two favorite days in school. The first day and the last day of school. You know why? You don't do anything on either one of those days. I like those days. Joe Bill, I remember my father. You remember my father. You and my father were good friends. And my father's a serious academic kind of guy. I mean, like, if you look at me and you look at my father, you go, how did that happen? Because God's got a sense of humor. And my father, I remember he used to take me into the law library there of his law firm, a place that I would not naturally migrate to. And he looked at me. I was 16 years old. And he looked at me and he said, son, have you given any thought to what you might do with the rest of your existence other than chase girls, drive fast cars, and play football? I said, Dad, if the Lord will grant that as a full-time job, I'll be willing to accept. Of course, that would have been an NFL player. But that didn't happen. And then I looked at him and I looked around that law library. And I mean, there's books in a law library about everything. Y'all have been in a law library? They got books on everything. Everybody that's messed up some way, they write 5 books about every mess up. I mean, there's stuff everywhere in there. So I looked around his office and I said, well, can I ask you a question, Dad? He said, yes, sir. I said, you got to read all these books to be a lawyer? He said, you do. I said, write that one off the list. I'm not going to be that. A few years later, he walked in my office. He walked around and walked into my library, my study, and he looked around and he went, you got to read all these books to be a preacher? I said, most of them. He goes, he got you, didn't he? Went to school longer if I'd just been a lawyer. And you can lie when you're a lawyer and get away with it. What do you think about that? I mean, you know, preacher, they try to catch you. Yeah, well, we never know what God's going to do with us. Amen? We never know where this promise is going to go. That's why you got to be careful. God say, listen, Joshua, go where I send you. Where your feet step is where I claim ground. The same should be today. Where you step, God claims ground. Now, I want you to know something right now. This isn't going to be long today. I want you to know something. God wants every one of you to be saved. Now, some of you are not going to be saved. You know why? Because you say, I'm not going to listen to God. I'm going to do it my old way. I'm going to listen to the opinion polls. And the opinion polls are popular in our culture. I want to tell you something. You want to find freedom? Get rid of the polls. And live by the promise. We've seen very few individuals that'll do it right, no matter what anybody else says in today's times. Y'all notice that? We all are concerned about what? How they think. What do they think about me? Well, the question needs to be, what's God said? Now, here's what he tells Joshua. Live out the instructions I gave Moses. Note this. I just thought this was interesting this week. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it the right or to the left. Hold on. I'm glad to know that the right and the left are not where the promise lives. Personally, politically, for me, it scares me when either one of those two groups are totally in charge. I think if you go totally left wing, you go loony. And I think if you go totally right wing, you go nuts. I think when you got both of them, you got some loony nuts, and in between that, you can find some truth. How many of y'all found that to be true? One way is not the right way, because guess what happens to the left? They think they're God. Guess what happens to the right? They think they're God, and then guess what both of them find out? Neither one of them are God. Make sense? You heard some crazy stuff this week that you and I have the responsibility to participate with God in life and death decisions. If you bought that, that shows me right there, you've never been to Bible study. And you don't understand the basic foundations of Christianity. And here's what happened. God been warning you all these years. If you don't know it, there'll be a time when there'll be smooth talking vibrations all over the world. And they'll sound right, but be wrong. So you got to know God's in charge of life and death. God's in charge of the promise. God's in charge of making it happen. Now, you say, why doesn't God take care of me? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you follow His promises? See, He told Joshua, He said, listen, I'm going to line you up with the promise, but there's some responsibility to the promise. Follow my laws. Follow my laws. Follow my principles. Don't waver. Left or right. Stay in what? God's way. I don't want to be a leftist. I don't want to be a rightist. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I really do think there's a balance there. Watch this. I'm going to blow you away. If we had followed God's principle, we would be blowing the world away right now in the church. God told us to tithe 10%. Do you think the church, evangelical church in America, tithes 10%? No, we negotiated on a principle of God. If we had not negotiated on that principle of God, guess what? None of you in this room would have had a health care concern one. See, God designed our community to take care of. Then guess what we'd have had? We'd have had the government looking at the church to figure out how to take care of health care. But no, what do? We tip God, turn over our whole life to the government, and expect a good result. Whose principle did we violate? See how this happens? I said, wouldn't that have been cool, man? We all tithe. Guess what? We've taken care. Now, in the community of God. And then guess what people would have figured out? You know what? It's a whole lot better to live with God than it is to live outside of God. How many of y'all found it's a whole lot better to live in God's community than outside of God's community? Well, it isn't a whole lot better now because we're kind of just, hey, we love God, we love Jesus, have a big hug and a smile, and we meet together for an hour, and that's about the validity of most Christian community. No, you and I are the promised people of God. We're to care for one another. We're to love one another. We're to pray for the sick. Bible's got a health care plan. Pray for the sick and die saved. By the way, you're going to die. I'd be saved when I died. See, I'm not worried about health care because if I die, guess what happens? I'm going to be in heaven. That doesn't freak me out. Dying doesn't freak me out. Now, let me tell you what freaks me out. Living in the promise. Am I making a difference in the here and now, in the right now, in the steps of God? How many of y'all are following the steps of God in this moment of your life? Look what he said there, Reverend Andrew. Do not waver to the right or to the what? Don't bobble. Believe. Now, there's a bumper sticker. Don't bobble. What? Believe. How many of y'all bobble? You bobble. You say, well, that's what God said, but I'm not going to do it. Well, how many of y'all do this one right here? Well, did God really say that? Mm-hmm. Josh Miller, you used to play linebacker for me when you was young, remember? When I told you to come off the tackle and crash in there, what did that mean? Yes. Do you remember the times that you added to that? And you moved just a little bit outside the tackle, and the little running back would cut right in there and run yards. Was I happy or displeased? Why? And then when you did what I said, what happened to the little running back? You smashed him. Remember, eventually he quit. Watch this. But in our minds, what do we say? Well, I remember Josh. He's a high school kid. He's supposed to say stuff like this. He go, Coach, I don't understand, man. I was just 2 inches to the other side. 2 inches is what makes the difference. When God says don't do that, then guess what he really means? Now, let's test God, see if it's right. How many of y'all believe the Word of God's true? I believe the Word of God's true. I believe we mess up. We don't follow God's principles. Watch this. Do you think this has made any difference? Well, we've been having the celebration, the 40th anniversary of Woodstock. Some of you were there. Anybody here got to attend Woodstock live on the premises? Anybody? Y'all wouldn't say it now, because if you do, you know you are a senior citizen. Okay, here's it. We got Woodstock. You see, did anybody watch this? You know, it was the anniversary of Woodstock. And I thought, man, look, here's what we're celebrating. At Woodstock, what did we decide to do? We threw out God's social order at Woodstock. Would you agree with me? Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, do you, Woodstock? What is this? You know, like all the hippie clothes y'all are wearing now that you think you created? They were wearing them 40 years ago at Woodstock. Those who did have clothes on, okay? And so here's what we decided at Woodstock. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. We threw off our clothes. We said love, life, freedom, peace, love. Let's run naked. Free love for everybody. And we created things like AIDS. Y'all are fixing to hear it live here at Hillview Heights Church. Your pastor, being the scientific genius that he is, knows the number one cause for AIDS. He knows the cause. Ready for this? Sexual immorality. Number one transmitter of AIDS. You know how you have children out of wedlock? For some of you, this is going to be the mystery question. You have sex without a husband. Hold on. I'm letting the revelation sink in our culture. Watch this. I guarantee you, you wouldn't have it if we didn't pay for it. I guarantee you, if we didn't pay for it in this culture, you wouldn't be involved in that immorality. If you knew that's on my ticket, I gotta pay for that baby. I gotta pay for that rent. I bet you'd look at that dude and say, hey, 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 you better back up out of that door. You better go get a job. You better give me a ring. I need a car. Now, girl, hold on. Don't clap. Do this. When he comes knocking on the door, say, I don't see no ring. I don't see no car. And you ain't getting none of this till you get with the Lord and get it right. Then you'll know if he wants it. And you men that are out there doing it like that, don't use the name of Jesus. Jesus don't knock on the door. He don't knock on the door for pleasure unless he brings a promise. Yeah, good point. Consistent with God. He's got a promise. But what we want to do? Hold on, I'm showing you something. When we break God's promises, we break God's principles, we end up outside the promised land. Why am I preaching like this? Because I want y'all to be ticked? No, I can say some other things to get you ticked off real quick. I want you to know God doesn't want you to live like this. And listen, the preachers are scared in my age. The preachers are all scared today. They're scared to tell you that sin kills. Because guess what you're going to do? They're going to go, I'll tell you what, I ain't going to listen to yours. He just makes me so mad. It ain't me. I didn't write the book. It's in the book. Watch this. Joshua didn't write the book. Moses didn't write the book. Abraham didn't write the book. Adam didn't write the book. Jesus, he wrote the book. In fact, he became the book. He is the book. So be careful. Now listen, I got to finish you up. You ready? Don't get in stuff that's going to hurt you. Amen? Watch this. All right, how many of y'all believe the Bible's not true? I received an email a few months ago. And they said, Pastor Ayers, how can you be an educated man and preach from such a mythological book? Because it had some things in there that their lifestyle didn't agree with. So instead of changing my lifestyle, I just write off the what? Book. Well, here's what's interesting in the book. Y'all see if this is any problem to you. We've had a lot of crises lately. Would you all agree with me? For about a year and a half, we've had all kinds of crises. In fact, we've been globally warming. Al Gore, bless his heart, told us that he's from Tennessee. What does he know about global warming? About as much as me. We have a problem, though. Do you notice we don't have global warming anymore? See, this time last year, a year ago, we were in a meltdown situation. You all know, remember that polar bear you'd see on TV, that polar bear out there on that iceberg? They said he was going to drown. You notice they're not even talking about global warming now. You know why? We don't have the crisis all of a sudden anymore. You know why? Because the truth has done smacked them upside the head. We've had the coldest summer in Chicago since recording weather. Good news, the polar bear's going to live. The sucker's going to live. I've been feeling bad for this polar bear. He's been melting on an iceberg for 25 years. Same polar bear. Do you care about this polar bear? No, I care that you don't take $5,000 more out of my income. That I'm committed to. Over what? Polar bear. And now guess what they discovered? This true stuff. There is more ice in the Arctic than before. Now, the reason I tell you all this, if you're going to come to Hillview, just don't be stupid. We need to have some people that just aren't so stupid. Look at the TV. I wish y'all believed God like you did the TV. I wish people believed God like they did there's a sermon series. We're going to do that one. What if we believed God's promises, Dr. Smith? Like people believe TV. We've had more crises. We got crisis all the time. I'll give you a crisis. What about this crisis? There's some people in this room going to hell. Now, that's a crisis. Leonard, that's a crisis. That's got you tore up now.
Yes, sir.
That messes with you now. You wake up in the morning and go, wait a minute, I got some buddies going to hell. Now, that's a crisis. But guess what? I actually got a solution. I didn't make it. It's a promise from God. It's not on the right. It's not on the left. It's a promise from God. His name is Jesus. And guess what he said? Any of you in this room that repent of your sins, guess what? He will take you to heaven. He will forgive you for what you used to be. He will redesign you into what you can be. And you will end up in eternity with God Almighty forever and ever. That sounds like a great promise. Why? Help me. Why is that not as convincing as global warming? Check this one out. Y'all bought this. Climate change. Duh. How many of y'all have lived in Kentucky? Climate change every day. If you live in Kentucky, guess what? We can be in global warming and a freezing ice age all in the same week. You know why? We're not in charge of the weather. We're not in charge of the final countdown. We're not in charge. And here's the good news. We got a God of promise, the same God of promise. And here's what he said. Be strong. Be courageous. Be committed. Stay focused. Stay in my precepts, my truths, my understanding. And I'm taking you to the land. I'm putting you there. And nobody can take you out. Guess what? Israel's there today. Here's what I, you know, I trust God with Israel. Iran right now, they tinkering with some nuclear weapons. Guess who Iran's fixing to tinker with? You don't want to mess with God. He ain't like America. When God shuts you out, you're done. Go read the Bible. When God cleared a nation out, guess what? It was no longer a nation. Now, he didn't go in there and do political war. Guess what he said? You're done. That's some of you who come out of Woodstock are going, how could God do that? Because God's not a psychedelic mushroom-taking hippie. He's an almighty King of Kings, beginning and end kind of entity. He was here before you and I arrived. He'll be here after we're long gone, but he's inviting us to be with him forever. That's the good news. He is loving because he's graceful. And you all have gotten non-consequence confused with mercy. God is a God of consequence. If you believe, guess what? You go to heaven. That's a what? Consequence. If you disbelieve, guess what happens? How come y'all don't say that when it's firm? You end up in hell. Guess where God wants you to be? In the promise, it looks like to me. He's got Joshua. Okay, give me two things, and we're out of here. First of all, when you follow God and you receive the promise of God, do not be fearful. Look what he tells Joshua. I can get this here. You ready? Do not stray from the book. He goes on in verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be what? Quit being scared. You don't got to be scared. You're God's children. Quit being terrified. Quit being in what? Crisis. Here's a great way to look at it. I am not in crisis because I am in Christ. I am not in crisis because I am in what? Well, some of y'all make some of y'all think losing money is a crisis. Guess what that is? Money lost. How many of y'all have lost money before? How many of y'all live to tell about it? Praise God. If you've made money, I guarantee you, you've lost money. If you hadn't made any money, it's because you've never been willing to risk to lose any. I promise you, nobody that's done something great has done it without failing a bunch before they got there. You're going to fail some. That's all right. Listen, I don't see God saying anything about failure. I hear him telling you, don't be terrified. Believe. And then he said, don't be discouraged. Why? Here's the sealer of the day. God loves us so much. He said, don't be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you what? Go. Rick, you found that to be true? Wherever you go, who got there first? God did. Jesus did. All right. Did y'all get anything today? I feel like we had some preaching today. Did y'all have some listening today? Amen. All right. Now, I love y'all, but we didn't have church today just so you believers could be reminded that you're promised by God. You don't have to be terrified. Be encouraged. Hold on. Get her done. By the way, I'm glad to know. I want you to know Israel's got their land. Whose land is that? God's. Now, can I also tell y'all an interesting historical fact? How many of y'all want an interesting historical fact before we leave? Let me tell you about the land of Israel. Every cocky leader that has messed with the Holy Land has ceased to be a cocky leader. Where is Hitler? Suicidal in a bunker. Guess what he messed with? Guess when things started going really bad? Started monkeying with God's land. You don't monkey with God. Even if you think you're smart, you start monkeying with God, it gets ugly. Who does everybody always want to pick on? The Jews. Better not mess with the Jews. Jews are resilient. Kill 6 million of them and somehow or another they still own the commodities market. Explain that to me. You put them in slavery and they open up a jewelry store. Why? Here's what I've learned from my Jewish friends. They tend to listen to what God has promised louder than what people say. And I find a lot of us listen more to what people say than what God has. See, I want you to know, don't be terrified. I want you to quit doing this in the name of Jesus. Quit looking at where you came from and start looking to where you need to go. You're headed to heaven. Amen. Watch the right and watch the follow who? Jesus. Does that make sense? Y'all learn anything today? All right. We got a mission. There's some people in the room today that need to be saved. Are y'all okay with that? And listen, if you're one of those people, do not be ashamed, because all the other people that were here before you, they weren't saved when they came either. Okay? So don't ever look at Hillview. I mean, you really kind of got to be. You probably have smoked something if you come in here and look and think that all these people were perfect when you look around the room. None of us were perfect. That's the conclusion we came to. We had all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And here's what we believe in our church, because it's what the Bible says. We believe that every human being, God desires every living, breathing human being to be saved. But we believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation. So we believe you must repent. Well, here's what repentance is. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you're for real. I believe you're God. I want you in my life. Guess what God will do? He'll come in your life. He'll save you from your sins. Now watch, some of you going, well, I asked God in my life. My wife still yelled at me. She will yell at you until you get to heaven. But you're going to know how to work that out better. Amen? Make sense? That doesn't mean you're not going to have a world full of problems. It means that you're going to have a promise to get you through the problems. Does that make sense? Y'all been great today. Y'all scared me. You've listened today. Guess what could happen? The church starts listening to what God says and then starts practicing what God says, and we become strong and courageous, and we quit listening to all these other voices and we start listening to the voice of God. I believe we're going to start executing the promise of God. God will turn this nation around. I believe that. He already is. He already is. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to lose my faith. Are y'all going to lose your faith?
No.
I believe in Jesus Christ. I don't believe in the Democratic Party. I believe in Jesus Christ. Before you Republicans get too excited, I don't believe in them either. I heard a Republican the other day. He said, this debt. And I went, this debt? Lord, y'all choked it up as much as he did. I said, let me ask you a question. Just because both parties are stupid does not mean equal. It's like, well, we're stupid. Well, we're stupid. Who's the dumbest? Why don't we start going, where's there a group of people that's saying, this is what God said and this is what we're going to do? I'm going to tell you one thing. You don't believe the Bible's true? The Bible said, do not become subject to the lender. What put us into the financial crisis? You work in financial business, don't you? Or used to. Don't worry, there's millions of others that used to also. And here's why they don't work in it anymore. We gave out houses for no down payment. And you're shocked? Here's what we really believe in America. We can be absolutely stupid and live in the blessings of God. Now, here's what I want you to hear this. That's not what God said. God told Joshua, you're going to live in my promises because you're going to live in my principles, and you're going to experience success and prosperity because you're going to live out not just the promise, but the principles that go with the promise. Now you got it? But you got to get the promise first before you receive the principles. Amen? Here's the promise. Anybody today that comes to this altar and says, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I've messed up, not lived out the Ten Commandments. I need you in my life. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Save me. I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the Lord, save me. Mike Sarkozy, what's Jesus going to do? Save him. I hear him calling somebody right now, telling them to get saved. Is that real? Some of you need to come today and say, God, I'm sorry. I know where I'm supposed to be, but I'm not living out those principles. Put me in motion. Dear God, I'm terrified all the time. You know what? This would be the greatest thing that happens. God, deliver me of my fear. How many of y'all are scared all the time? How can you be scared and be a part of God's promise? The Bible says that's contradictory. Fear not. How many of y'all need to just say, God, I'm going to do something great because I know you made me to do that. Make sense? Y'all are beautiful. Let's stand together. Here's the call in. God's already saved a lot of you. Come on and recognize it. Some of you need to come and be baptized. Some of you need to be drawn by God today. Let's just let Him have it. Okay, you ready? Lord Jesus, Your truth is inevitable. It is before us. It is with us. Dear God, we would like to apologize because we have listened to a whole lot of other things other than what You told us. Wouldn't that be true, church? I know I've listened to other things than God, and it never went well. So, God, I want to confess it. Pastor, I apologize when I turned to other things. Lord, we're thankful today that the same cross You died on is in motion, that You would like to save anybody in this room. So I want you to hear me. If that's you today, right now, you know God's touching you. You know He's saying something special to you. You know He wants to be in you. You know it. Why don't you let Him in? Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I recognize that today. Lord Jesus, I want You to save me. What do you think God's going to do if you ask Him to save you? He's going to save you. So just tell Him, Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord Jesus, I believe You died and I know that You've risen again. Lord Jesus, come into my life. We got folks coming, Pastor. Talk to these beautiful children. Make sure they know Jesus. The pastor's going to ask you if you know Jesus. The pastor's going to pray over you. The pastor's going to love you. There are going to be people right now saved. God wants to do a mighty work today. Listen, if it's your first time here today and my voice is making sense to you and you feel something going, hey, I need to come up here, you come up here. Guess who that is? That's God letting you know. That is God Almighty letting you know that He does not want you to live in hell. You say, Pastor, you don't understand, bro. I've done some bad things. No, you don't understand. You got a God that's greater than all those bad things. So come and let Him save you. Amen. I told you, it's not where you've been. It's where you're going. It's not where you started from. It's where you finished. How many of y'all realize if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to finish in heaven? You're going to finish in heaven. No, come on, are you hearing me? You will finish where?
Heaven.
Heaven. So listen, I want everybody today here to be saved. I pray that boldly. Lord, You're bringing people forward. Open this altar. God, I pray for people that thought they could never get saved, that they wake up to it today. People that thought they'd never be baptized, they'd be baptized today. People that have stepped away from the promise, that they would step into the promise. People that think they're unworthy, that You just break that lie in the name of Jesus. And you bring them to the truth. This altar is open. Come on, be ministered for a moment. Be ministered at this altar. Let God have your life. In the name of Jesus, let Him have your life. Let Him have your life. Let Him have your life.